listening to Platform to Prosperity, an original podcast from United Way of Greater Stark County in partnership with PBS Western Reserve. We're here to have honest conversations that offer financial empowerment to listeners everywhere, but in particular, we want to empower the residents of Stark and Carroll counties. Are you ready to transform your financial situation? Then let's talk. On this episode of Platform to Prosperity, we are talking about credit. We're talking about your credit. Your credit reports and credit scores, you probably have already found this out, they have considerable influence over your financial, your life, and the choices that you make. Now, according to a recent report that I found from badcredit.org, approximately a whopping 16% of Americans have very poor credit. And that poor credit, that bad credit, it looms over you, doesn't it? It holds you back. You want to go get a brand new car? Well, guess who's coming? That bad credit pops up. You want to buy a house? You want to get a loan or a credit card? Here comes bad credit again, making it difficult, raising those interest rates. Now, there's one thing that I know all too well is that for many of us, probably that 16% of us, is really, really hard to face that big, hairy, ugly credit because we don't know what to do with it. So we ignore it and we put it in the closet and we let it sit there and get uglier and collect dust. Well, we're not going to do that anymore. After this conversation, we're going to pull that credit out. We're going to clean it up and make it presentable again. And here to offer some insight into how to do that is Ron Ferraccio, the branch manager at Farmers National Bank and Alliance. Ron, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for being here. So before we get into the meat of the discussion and learn about rebuilding credit and fixing that situation, turning it around, I want to know if you can tell us a little bit about Farmers National Bank and what are you doing for communities?
Yes, Tyron. Yeah, Farmers National Bank, the bank's actually been around since 1886. We have over 33 branches across Northeast Ohio. We've served the communities we've been in for that length of time. Farmers is involved in providing community lending, financing for small businesses and medium-sized businesses, and just helping individuals meet their financial dreams by being able to buy a home, get a car, and those types of things. Farmers is involved heavily in the community. Of course, I'm involved with the United Way, as the bank is a major component of the United Way of Northeast Ohio and our donations and support. We're also involved with American Heart Association across our footprint, and many members are part of local clubs. I'm in the Rotary Club of Alliance, for instance, and of course in Kiwanis and Lions Club.
Wow. Wow. Awesome. Awesome. That's all great stuff. I appreciate that. Okay, so let's get into it. Let's get into it, Ron. I want you to tell us, and don't hold back, Why is it important? Because many people do not understand their credit. Many people don't know much about it. Why is it important to understand your credit report?
Well, credit report is a moving target. And what people need to realize about credit is if you want to get a credit card, a department store card, a car loan, a student loan, a mortgage, or a new home loan, your credit score is a big deciding factor in getting a loan or a mortgage or not.
Yes.
For instance, the average credit score in this country is about a 680 range, if you will. That's average credit. It's fair credit. But if someone has below a 650 or 620 credit score, they may not even qualify for a car loan to a traditional bank. But why it's important, I'll give you an example. Getting a car loan, someone with a 760 or higher credit score on a 48-month car loan might only pay around $1,300 or $1,400 in interest over the life of that loan. Conversely, someone with a very poor credit score, below a 620 or even down in the 580 range, they might pay over $5,300 in interest.
Wow.
Over $3,700 more in interest just in a four-year car loan. And if you consider how that would transpose over to, for example, mortgage, poor credit, you could, you know, tens of thousands of dollars more over the life of a mortgage because of the higher credit score and the higher risk that you are with a low credit score.
So bad credit is going to leave a big hole in your pocket. It's going to cost you more. Yeah.
It's going to cost you more in everything. Yep.
Jeez, wow.
In fact, people aren't even aware. I mean, most, if you're trying to get an apartment, a lot of times they're pulling credit now. And if you have a poor credit score or bad credit, it might disqualify you from even being able to rent an apartment or house.
Jeez Louise. Okay, so this is good stuff. Now, I know there are different types of credit reports. Can you give us an overview of the different types of credit reports?
Yes, there are three credit bureaus that can give you copies of your credit report. So there's TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. Each of those credit bureaus typically will report the same information or type of information on your credit report, but each one might have different credit scores based upon the criteria they use to score your credit. For example, like here at Farmers National Bank, if you're applying for a car loan, we only pull your TransUnion credit report. So that's a new inquiry, and that would affect that score for that credit bureau. Conversely, if you're applying for a mortgage, the mortgage company will pull all three credit bureaus, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax, and they'll use the median score of those three to qualify you for a home loan. So with each credit report, credit reports contain information such as collections, judgments, all your open accounts, and closed credit accounts that are part of an individual's credit history. The payment history, for example, of your utility payments, your rent, and other bills are not included on a credit report. Things such as loans, credit cards, student loans, tax liens, judgments, bankruptcies, foreclosures, those are all items that will be included on your credit report. In fact, even after an item is closed or paid, it could remain on someone's credit report for anywhere from 7 to 11 years.
Wow, 7 to 11 years. Now, I want to ask you, because so it's good to understand and know what's there on your credit. Does it hurt you if I want to go and check my own credit? How can I do that and find out what's on there? And is that going to bring my credit down? Because I know if you, like, apply for a credit card or something, or if someone checks your credit and you get that hit, that kind of knocks you down a bit. So if I check my own credit, is that going to knock me down?
Tyron, you can check your own credit as often as you like, and it does not hurt your credit score.
Okay.
So, for example, there's several resources that you can use to access your credit report. First off, you can go to TransUnion, Experian, or Equifax.com. You can go directly to each of those three credit bureaus, and you can access your credit report once a year on those sites. Now, if you go directly to the credit bureaus individually, they'll try to hit you with a paid service to get a copy of your credit report and score. But if you go to annualcreditreport.com, you can get a free copy of your credit report once a year. So those are credit bureaus that you can get directly from any of the credit bureau agencies. Also, there are some popular apps that are out there and web services that offer you free credit score monitoring. Two of the ones that I hear most widely used, one most people have probably heard of, is creditkarma.com.
Yes, I use it.
Another one is creditsesame.com. These websites give you access to be able to pull your credit. They typically update the scores monthly, and I do tell people they are an estimate. So those estimates could be off. Your credit score on there could, for example, mine reported as a 767. And when I went to buy a car, it came back at a 789.
Okay.
So it is just an estimate, because they do get the information from the credit bureaus monthly, and it's not updated daily like it may be with the credit bureaus.
Got it. Okay. So now let's say, Ron, that I look at that, I'm checking, but I see something that I don't recognize. I see a hit on my credit, or there's something there that I don't remember, you know, doing, that I don't think should be there. What do we do if there's an error?
Well, if there's an error, you have a couple different options. If you're using a service such as Credit Karma, there's actually a dispute button next to those items on your credit report where you can dispute those to Credit Karma, and then they will send a dispute request directly to the credit bureaus disputing that item validity. The other way, two other ways you could dispute those. One is, I always tell people to go back to the creditor, whether it's a collection company or a company that you applied for a loan for. go back to them and inquire what that's about and determine if they can remove it from your credit or if it was indeed your request or if it could have been a fraudulent request. And lastly, you can go directly to the credit bureaus. So if you go to Experian, TransUnion, or Equifax.com, there not only are credit resources, but also there's a disputing process that you can do electronic disputes online through those credit bureaus.
Awesome. Okay. So now, speaking of the things that should be on your credit card, or on your credit report, what are the top five items that affect your credit score? What are the top five that affect us?
Well, the top five, and I'll give you these in descending order and kind of give you an idea of what percent of your credit score is driven by each of these components. And you can find this information on creditreport.com. You could find it on each of the credit bureau agencies as well. But the biggest factor that drives your credit, and it's probably a 30 to 40% impact on your credit score, is payment history, how you pay your bills. Do you pay them on time? Do you have late pays? Do you have collections? It's all about payment history, which is over a third of what drives your credit score.
Yeah.
Second is the amount you owe. So the amount you owe can affect your score anywhere from 25 to 35% of your score is driven by the amount you owe. So, for example, a misconception a lot of people have, they think if they have credit cards, if they use them often or regularly or charge them up, that helps their credit score. Actually, the opposite is actually true. The lower or less your balance is, unless you use your credit card, can actually increase your score over time.
No kidding.
Because it's all a relationship of what's available versus how much you're using. And the lower amount you're using as a percentage of your total credit limit, the higher your score will go up.
So just having a credit card and not using it can help your credit?
Correct. Wow. Yes. For example, I have five credit cards. I don't use them all routinely. I might use each of them once a year just to have activity so they don't close the account due to inactivity. But each of those accounts, it shows that I'm paying them on time, so it affects my payment history, and I have zero or low amount owed, which is going to be a factor going forward as far as a percent of credit that I'm using. So yes, that is accurate. The less you use a credit card, the more it actually can help your score.
Awesome.
The next factor is the length of credit history, and probably 10 to 15% of your score is driven by this. And what I mean by that is, how long have you had accounts open? Have you had a car loan? Have you had a mortgage on there that's been on there for years? Or is your credit new? Are you establishing credit? So, for example, the longer the credit history that you have, and that's good credit history, payments on time, those things will affect your score about 15 to 20% of the time. The next factor is the types of credit that you have. So I mentioned some different items on there, but types of credit would be auto loans, student loans, unsecured loans, credit cards, department store cards, mortgages. All of these are different types of credit. So the more diverse the mix is of the types of credit that are in your credit report, that can affect your credit score 5 to 10%. And the last item of the top five would be new credit. New credit affects your score as well. As about 10% of your score is driven by new credit. And new credit, one of the most common items that you would consider would be new credit are credit inquiries. So, for example, you mentioned that if you apply for a credit card, it would ding your credit, and that is accurate. If you apply for a mortgage, if you apply for a car loan, they pull your credit. And credit inquiries can be a factor that adversely affects your credit because you are actively out there trying to get credit. So when somebody else, another bank, pulls your credit report, they'll see, oh, this person has a lot of inquiries. They're trying to get a lot of new credit, and their scores may go down because of that. So new credit, basically the biggest subset of that is credit inquiries and applying for new credit.
Wow. Okay. Got it. Okay. So let's look at it from this angle. Let's take it here. So let's say that 16% of Americans that I mentioned before that have that poor credit, let's say, some of them are listening right now and they're hearing what you're saying. And this all sounds good. And we all go look at our credit. We know what's there. We understand it, but it's still bad. It's still not great. And when we look at what we can do to fix it, we look at our finances and realize we don't have much to work with. We don't have a big budget. Maybe, you know, I don't have a part-time job and I don't have a whole lot of money to stretch. If you're on a budget, how can you still go about rebuilding your credit?
Well, there's a couple of different ways, and I'll kind of touch on this first. I tell people we're in income tax season, and fortunately, a lot of lower income Americans might see a sizable tax return, for instance. What I recommend people do with that part of that tax return is maybe they establish some new credit. There are secured credit cards that you can get where you can secure that credit card with as little as a $250 balance. And if you get one, two, or three of those on your credit report, those are going to affect your score positively over time based upon those top five items that I mentioned that affect your credit score. So that's a good way this time of year to maybe invest in your credit. The other thing with those tax returns is, obviously, I mean, if people can bring their bills current. If you have old medical bills that they're giving these collection notices for, maybe you either pay them off, settle them, or get on a payment plan. Because, of course, anything that goes to collections, for example, from a hospital, if it goes to collections, that's going to adversely affect your credit because it's going to be negative payment history or credit history.
Got it.
I would suggest that people not only try to maybe pay some bills that they have to avoid them going to collections.
Yeah.
But also, too, if they do have credit cards this time of year, maybe it's a good time to pay them down or pay them off.
Now, Ron, I want to put a pin really quickly in what you were saying before about that secured credit card, because I think that is amazing, and that blew my mind the first time I heard you say that. So for $250, you get a secured. And it doesn't matter what your credit looks like. You can get a secured credit card. And the point is that you don't use it. It's the point is to have it to build your credit back up. And I also heard you say this once, and I want to make sure I got it right, that if you have someone else in your household with you who maybe they're in the same situation or someone whom you trust, you can also make them a user. They can be on that card as well, and they won't use it either, and it will improve their credit as well. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And let me address the first question. So first off, secured credit cards, if somebody's reestablishing or establishing credit, that you can go to creditcards.com. And if you do some follow the top tabs, you can look at the types of credit that you have, and it'll make recommendations on the types of credit cards that you might qualify for. So one credit card, and we don't offer secured credit cards, and that's why I'd recommend this as a resource for people. On creditcards.com, when you look up poor credit or establishing new credit with no credit history, the first one that pops up is Capital One. It's a secured MasterCard by Capital One. And the way these work is if you have poor credit or no credit, most banks aren't going to give you a credit card, a normal credit card or a department store card. So with these, depending on your credit history, they may require with Capital One anywhere from a $50 to $250 deposit. And basically what that deposit does is it secures the line. So for example, if they say, well, you need to send us $250, they're going to hold that $250 in a savings account. And what happens is as long as you have that credit card open, that $250 would secure that card if for any reason you didn't pay it or you closed it with a balance, they would hold that deposit to cover any outstanding balance and interest. Well, what that does is that'll develop good payment history, length of credit history, and a low amount owed. Now, I do say to people, you do need to charge on at least once to show activity on the card, but ongoing activity is not required, and it actually over time can hurt you by continually using your credit card. The second part of your question, can you repeat the second part of your question?
I was asking you about, did it make sense? I thought I heard you say before about putting someone else on the card as a user that may be in the household with you, someone you trust, and they not use the card and it didn't help them as well.
Correct. So there's a couple options. So for example, if you're applying for a card and you're married, for instance, or in a relationship, both of you can apply for the same card. So you can be, co-borrowers or co-signers for that credit card application. So that's one way you can do it. The other thing I recommend, and I'm starting to teach some classes to local schools talking about building credit, is another option is, for example, if you have a parent or loved one that has a card that's, say, been open multiple years, there's little or no balance on it, and it's never been a late pay past 30 days past due, they can add you as what's called an authorized user. This is specific to the creditor that's issuing the credit card, for instance. Most allow it, but you have to ask, for example, if you have a JCPenney card or a Macy's card, you have to contact them and ask them if they would allow you to add an authorized user. By adding, for example, your son to your credit card as an authorized user, all of your payment history will show up the next month on their credit report.
Wow.
So, for example, I had an individual, they had like a 597 credit score. Their parent added them to two credit cards that had been open for more than 4 or 5 years that were rarely ever used and they'd never been late. Their credit score jumped up almost 200 points. Wow. When that credit history showed up on their credit report.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot, Ron. You've given us a whole lot. You've given me some stuff to chew on. I'm going to find $250 and go open up me a secured card and start slowly rebuilding my credit. Hey, I want, on behalf of United Way, and myself, I just want to say a big thank you. Thank you for taking the time, to sharing this with me and the listeners, sharing all this information. As we close it out here, I want to ask, how can we maybe follow up with you if we have some more questions or if we want to get involved with Farmers National Bank and further our journey?
Well, I do tell people they can contact me here at the Alliance branch on State Street in Alliance, the Farmers National Bank. I provide free credit counseling and free credit reviews for individuals that are trying to get a home or a car loan or unsecured loan. I guess I'm one of these managers that just doesn't tell you if you're approved or denied, but actually explains why and kind of helps you with a plan to get your credit in order to the point where you could qualify for a loan.
That's awesome.
I can give my phone number out, my direct dial line, where individuals can call me. I'm at area code 330-913-2033. And you can also access us at farmersbankgroup.com is our website. You can do an office search and you can contact one of our local offices.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Ron. Thank you so much. And that is going to close us out. And to everybody's listening, hey, in short, the moral of the story is that it's possible. It's possible to make a comeback. It's possible to fix that credit and get that roadblock off the road of your life so that you can get to where you're going. And I hope you all enjoyed this conversation. I really do. Now, if you need some help and you want to continue your journey, you got the information about Farmers National Bank. That's there. And I want you to know that United Way of Greater Stark County is also here for you. Our Financial Prosperity Center provides financial wraparound services to individuals and families through Resource Connected, coaching and counseling, soft skill workshops, and multiple programs like VITA and auto repair, all free of charge. So reach out to us today and let us help you achieve your long-term goal of financial success. But until next time, thank you for listening and thank you for living united.